I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, after weeks of SNAP being disrupted, government employees not being paid, and air travel chaos, there appears to be a way forward in ending the longest government shutdown in the nation's history. But are the Democrats able to claim victory, or did they cave in with little to show for their holdout? We're joined by San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro. And later on The Source, a week after the county's passage of Prop B, what's next for the city in striking a deal with the Spurs for the downtown arena? Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones gives us an update on that, and also what we learned about the June fatal Bidle Creek flood, and how the city is stepping up as families are going hungry. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Need to get rid of your property? Here's a simple solution. Donate it to TPR. Visit tpr.careasy.org/real-estate-donation to learn more.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour of the program, we're going to be joined by San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones to talk about post-Prop B, the fatal Bidle Creek flood, and rising hunger with our neighbors. But first, there is breaking news in the longest government shutdown in the nation's history. There appears to be a deal to fund the government. A group of Senate Democrats voted with Republicans to reopen the government, saying they have received promises that there will be a vote by mid-December on the Affordable Care Act premium subsidies, reverse shutdown era federal layoffs, and ensure payback for furloughed and back pay for furloughed and working employees, and to keep SNAP funded once the government reopens. To tell us more about that, we're joined by San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro. And Congressman Castro, welcome back to The Source.
Yeah, good to be with you all.
And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So what do you make of this deal that they struck to reopen the government?
Well, a lot of this shutdown, which is now the longest in American history, has centered around whether Congress is going to let these ACA tax credits expire. And there would be 22 million Americans for whom health insurance premiums would spike hundreds or thousands of dollars if they expire. And people are seeing that now as they shop around for healthcare coverage for next year. In Bexar County, you're talking about tens of thousands, if not more than 100,000 folks who could be impacted. And so I wish that it wasn't just a guarantee of a vote to extend them, that the Senate had come to an agreement that these things would be included in the budget. If you think about it, over the last several years, particularly with the Republican majority, they've rushed to include the extension of tax credits for already very wealthy corporations and billionaires in this country. And the American people, by a measure of close to 70%, support the extension of these tax credits. And I think it's the least we could do as a Congress. When grocery prices are going up, you go to HEB or Walmart or wherever you shop, you see the price of everything going up, the price of rent, the price of childcare. I think the least the Congress could do was help hold the line on health insurance for people.
So did they do that? Some people are calling the 10 Democrats that voted with this to get over the filibuster hump. I've read that they're being called the Cave-In Caucus.
Well, it looks like they got a vote. So there will be a vote in the Senate. I mean, the problem is that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, well, first, he takes his orders from the president only. So he's basically given over all power of the House of Representatives to Donald Trump and the White House. But he has not even guaranteed that we'll take a vote in the House of Representatives. So the Senate could vote to pass these tax credits. Let's just say you get a combination of Democratic and Republican senators who vote yes. But then if the Speaker won't put it up for a vote in the House, you're back to square one. And so that's problematic.
So have you been called back to Washington if they do put the House back in session?
Not officially, but we have been told that we'll be given 36 hours notice to get back and that we're expecting to take votes sometime this week. So I would think probably sometime between Wednesday and Friday.
That's when the vote would take place?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you vote in favor of this new package deal?
I'm going to vote no. I'm going to vote no. First, I don't think this shutdown had to happen. Like I said, you have about 70% agreement among Americans that these tax credits should be included in the budget. And yeah, so I think they should have been included from the beginning.
But so let's work through the timeline, because so many people want those SNAP cards recharged. Yeah. If there's a vote on Thursday, you say, possibly, then it's got to go to Trump's desk for him to sign.
Right.
And then it's going to take a day or two for business days for those for the USDA to get those SNAP cards going again. People are probably looking maybe at another week or so.
Well, I mean, but let's be clear. The court has already directed the president to issue those SNAP benefits. The problem is that the president has fought basically feeding Americans, helping to feed Americans. He went so far, you probably saw David last week, of threatening grocery stores that were offering discounts to folks to help make food more affordable. I mean, he literally threatened the grocery stores. So in every shutdown before this, whether the president was Republican or Democrat, those SNAP benefits went through. The president has the legal authority to allow them to go through. But again, he threatened the states and the governors. He threatened the grocery stores. I mean, there's just a level of malevolence that we just haven't seen before.
But he is appealing to the Supreme Court the order to even partially fund SNAP during the shutdown now.
Yeah, he's doing what he did in business, which is he abuses the legal system with appeal after appeal after appeal, trying to cause pain in people waiting to get what he wants.
He's also threatening states that fully fund SNAP during the shutdown. So
yeah.
His objective there appears to be what? If he's trying to keep people from states from funding SNAP, it's just about keeping people from...
Yeah, he's trying to keep people from getting food. I mean, you know, and bear in mind, this is at a time where he's giving away $40 billion to Argentina. The president, Milei, who's like this right-wing libertarian president over there, and their economy, to be fair, was already in bad shape, but he's wrecked it even more, was having parties celebrating this $40 billion that Trump is passing along to him. And then the president goes and hosts this 1920-style excess party in Mar-a-Lago, while food banks in San Antonio and across the country have lines of people waiting to go eat. It's malevolence. It's also somebody, it's a president that's out of touch. He's very disengaged.
So, this is not a red or blue issue. I mean, there are many, many people in rural areas, places that vote strongly for the Republican Party that are being impacted by SNAP not being funded.
No, that's absolutely right. You have people in rural America and, of course, in the cities, that are having hard times. I mean, I feel like some of my colleagues and others feel like this is punishment for blue cities or blue states, and that's just not the case at all. I mean, these are financial challenges that people around the country face.
So do you think there will be some sort of pushback? Will people remember this? Will this be a blip?
I hope so. I mean, I think that the election results we saw recently.
On Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. I think that was an indication that people are fed up, that they've had enough of this chaos. They've had enough of this mean-spiritedness of also a president, again, who does things like give $40 billion to Argentina, but can't extend health care tax credits or allow for SNAP to go through.
All right, we got to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. If you had a question or a comment for San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this break.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studios, San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro, a Democrat, and he's here to take your calls. You can call in 833-877-8255. Let's go to Terry on the phones. And let's get Terry lit up. And Terry, you're on the air. Hey, Terry, you there?
I cannot believe. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. You sound great. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you sound good. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you sound good.
Hello?
Hi, Terry.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I am so outraged that this is happening to the people of this country and to us Texans. I'm so disgusted with our governor who should be told when to wipe his nose from this man, because as he's taking such direction from him, and if we reelect that man as governor of this state, then we all deserve him, and we do not deserve the kind of cruelty that's going on with this country with this man who foolish people elected thinking that they were going to improve their lives with him. I'm so disgusted. We are the garden club is collecting food for people, and I'm pretty disgusted with the 8 senators who decided to buckle down and kowtow. How do we know? We cannot believe anything a Republican tells us at this point. I'm so disgusted.
All right, Terry, thank you for your call. So on Tuesday, national elections, we saw Democrats do very, very well. They've seen it was a bad night for Republicans. And so what do you see from that, Congressman Castro? And Terry's call, her outrage.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are fed up. I think generally, whether they're Texans or Americans, San Antonio, whoever, people want you to help create a place of opportunity in this country. And I feel like Governor Abbott and Donald Trump, instead of doing that, are destructive in what they're doing. Unfortunately, Governor Abbott's tenure has been marked by incompetence, cruelty, and corruption. And you see a lot of self-dealing, a lot of the no-bid contracts that were extended after the pandemic so he could give contracts to his cronies. People, they just don't like that. And I think a lot of folks are waking up to that. And so I'm hoping that in November 2026 that we will turn a page in Texas and we can get to a place where we're helping create opportunity for everyone, no matter where they are in the state.
Let's go to Tony on the phones. And Tony, you're on the air with Congressman Castro.
Yeah, hi, Congressman. How are you? We've talked in the past. I'm just outraged. First of all, Abbott never spoke out about using the rainy day fund to help solve the issue of the SNAP benefits. That's one thing. But two, the Democrats caved. The Democrats got nothing as usual, because really it's a one-party system with two factions of the business parties. You've got the corporatists versus the oligarchs, and they're both enriching themselves at the expense of the working class. What we got to do is Republicans and Democrats and independents need to unite, and we need to change the system from the inside out, because it's rotten to the core.
Tony, thank you for the call. So taking that energy, looking at what happened in New York City with Mamdani's election, people want something different. What do you make of all that?
Well, I mean, I think for years the American dream has been slipping away from people, and that's accelerated now here, especially this year, as things have gotten a lot more expensive. People go to the grocery store, the prices have gone up. It's just harder for them to afford almost everything. And folks are frustrated about that. And at the same time, they see a group of, 10 billionaires or so who, during the pandemic and after the pandemic, have doubled their money or tripled their money in billions. And life is getting easier for them, and it's getting harder for everybody else. And so in that sense, I'm not surprised that New York City is going to elect somebody that says, hey, I'm going to make it so that there's universal child care. And by the way, you don't have to look to New York. New Mexico has done the same thing recently. But, I'm going to have universal child care so that you can afford to actually go to work and put your son or daughter somewhere so that they can be taken care of during the day. Same thing with health care, on universal health care. I support universal health care as somebody who is a cancer patient. And I've told a story about how the list price for one of the drugs that I have to take every 28 days, that list price was about $24,000 per injection. And I pay about $1,500 a month for health insurance. But if you're somebody who doesn't have healthcare coverage or is underinsured, then you're not going to be getting that shot every 28 days. And that's one type of cancer, neuroendocrine cancer. And cancer is one type of illness that people are dealing with in this country. And so people want to see something very different from their government.
We've seen that the Trump administration cut this defunded research for cancer, diabetes, all sorts of issues across the country. It doesn't seem like people are really registering the fact that those cuts from DOGE to research is impacting all sorts of health outcomes.
Well, I think, David, that's because they, quote unquote, flooded the zone, as Steve Bannon said, and tried to do so many impactful, terrible things at once that folks, the public, has gotten overwhelmed. But yeah, they cut research into kids' cancer. Now, I don't know anyone who believes that the way we're going to cure cancer is by cutting research. And, you know, when I was at MD Anderson for 10 days, when I was recovering from my surgery a few years ago, I was doing my rounds. And, you know, after surgery, they have you walk around and everything as part of the recovery. And they told us to take it easy. And I walk around these rooms and I see there's two rooms in a row of people watching Fox News. And I thought, wait, well, I thought they told us to take it easy. But, you know, it was a reminder that the people that were suffering from cancer, dealing with cancer, are not all liberal Democrats. They're not all progressive people. It's a lot of very hardcore conservative people as well. And the president and the Republican Party have betrayed them as well.
They're also cutting research to Alzheimer's. Texans on Tuesday overwhelmingly approved a multi-billion-dollar fund to have Alzheimer's research. So this is something that people want. We know we want. We have evidence of that, but yet it got cut. I'm going to move on to another topic, though. I want to talk about ICE deportations. We continue to see these aggressive interior removals of people from the country. We see some U.S. citizens being detained. We see hyper-aggressive actions against, you know, people. Their immigration status is not in question, and yet they're being tackled in the street. Well, what do you say about all that?
Well, first, Governor Greg Abbott has very loudly and proudly announced that he's going to be part of this dragnet, that the Department of Public Safety is going to be part of this dragnet. He already essentially agreed with Donald Trump sending over Texas National Guard over to Chicago for the operations that you see going on there. So it's not just the president and the federal government. It's also Greg Abbott who's contributing to this kind of ugliness. But yeah, I mean, you see these folks being asked to prove their citizenship, being beaten up, being tackled, tear gas thrown into their car, folks being disappeared. They're picked up and their families don't know where they are. They're not giving any information to family members. I don't believe that this is the America that most Americans want to live in. This is not the America that most Americans want to live in. You know, people on immigration, they want to make sure that you don't have dangerous criminals coming into the country or staying in the country, but they don't want a racial profiling dragnet that questions every brown person walking down the street about whether they're a citizen, or everybody who's speaking Spanish out in public and rounds them up, tackles them, beats them up, and throws them into a jail somewhere. That's not what most people want.
Let's go to Sean on the phones. And Sean, you're on the air. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes. Thank you, Congressman. I'm glad you're taking our calls. I would like to know what, if you can give an example of specific plans that you and the Democrats have to be able to make changes in people's lives. But I actually want to focus on food and nutrition, because you mentioned SNAP. We need to get people on SNAP and get them the benefits so they can afford food. But the fact is, the most expensive food is also the healthiest food. And there doesn't seem to be any plan to drive down prices. It should be obvious when somebody who is low income goes in, the economic choice should be the healthiest choice.
All right, Sean, thank you for that question. Congressman Castro.
I think there is a role for different levels of government, whether it's state government, local government, or the federal government, to play in making sure that healthy food is affordable for people.
I mean, there are government subsidies for corn and things like that, which ends up into high starchy food that's not that nutritious.
Sure. No, absolutely. But I don't think that, you know, we're talking about making progress on that. You're not going to make progress on that by, you know, issuing these tariffs that are hurting American farmers, for example, and making it harder for us to grow our own food here. And so I absolutely agree with the sentiment of the caller, but I think we got to dig ourselves out of this hole that we're presently in.
Let's go to Rudy. And Rudy, you're on the air with Congressman Castro.
Hello, Congressman Castro. I respect you a lot, but I need to be blunt about saying this. What arguments do you have, given the caving that just happened, that we should not primary you and every other Democrat currently in office right now?
Okay, so we got to let you go there, Rudy. You were saying, Rudy, why shouldn't people primary Congressman Castro and all other Democrats who are not standing up and fighting? So, Congressman Castro, we don't even know if you're running for re-election yet.
Yeah. Well, first, I'm voting no on the bill. I said that, you know, clearly earlier. I disagree with the senators and the deal that they made. And if you ask me why I've decided over the years not to run for Senate, this might be a prime example of why. But listen, you know, I have stood up proudly on this issue and others, and I think represented my district well. I have been holding the line here because I don't want to see people's health care coverage spike by hundreds or thousands of dollars. But that said, let me tell you, like, I've always been an advocate, somebody who has said that we need, like, a system of competition in this country where people should feel empowered to run in primaries and general elections, in partisan and nonpartisan elections. So you'll never hear me tell somebody, don't run for office.
So are you going to announce anytime soon what your plans are? Because you have not yet said if you're going to run for re-election.
Yeah, I mean, I've usually over the years filed for re-election near the end of the filing period. And I had been working earlier in the year, months and months ago, with, you know, had talked to Beto O'Rourke and Colin Allred and James Tallarico on multiple occasions about trying to put together a slate. You know, originally there were, well, four of us that were looking at that U.S. Senate race. And, you know, I was hoping that there would be some combination that we could have of people running for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and the U.S. Senate. And at one point I told a few of them, you know, I would consider running for attorney general if folks could figure out the rest. But we just couldn't get there. And, you know, you see Colin and James, who are both great friends and I have great respect for, both are running for Senate. But, you know, we weren't able to get there on a full ticket. That said, since then, there have been, I think, people with incredible potential who are stepping up on some of those other races and who I look forward to supporting in 2026.
It sounds like you're saying you're not ready to to announce you're running for re-election, but don't be surprised if you do.
Yeah, I'll announce my plan soon.
All right, we'll quickly have about a minute left here. So I'm really, let's talk about this pardon today. You know, Donald Trump pardoned Giuliani, other people involved in the 2020 denial of the election. He's pardoning people all over the place, a lot of allegations of corruption in these pardons. Do you think it's time that we have a constitutional amendment that will rein in the unchecked pardon power of the president and give some oversight to Congress?
Yes. I don't think a president should be able to pardon themselves. And I don't think a president should be able to pardon someone who may have committed a crime to help them. To help the president. And so, for example, apparently he's pardoned some of these fake electors who were trying to get him to become president in 2021 instead of Joe Biden.
And all the January 6er people that charged up to Capitol Hill, they caused the death of Capitol police officers. They threatened to hang Mike Pence, and they were blanket pardoned.
Anything that involves people who were working in a criminal matter in furtherance of the president or to help the president, I think that they should be off limits in terms of pardons.
So a constitution, we haven't had a constitutional amendment in a long time. You think that is something that the American people would get behind?
I think the American people would get behind it. The question is whether there's enough people in Congress to get behind it.
Congressman Castro, we expect to see you back in Washington, D.C. before the week's over. See how you vote on getting the government back open again. A lot of questions, a lot of anxiety. People are hoping that we get these SNAP benefits going again, get federal employees paid. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.